God's Word for You, 1 Chronicles 14, 1 and 2. This is more or less the midpoint of the book. In the first part of 1 Chronicles, the Holy Spirit showed the blessings of God on His chosen people Israel, from Adam to Abraham to Moses and now to David. The main part of the book so far was presented in the short form of genealogical records, but there were many short stories nestled in every chapter, till finally the narrative of Saul's death and the rise of King David was brought front and center in the account of God blessing His people. David has been blessed with training, with intimate personal knowledge of the whole land of Israel and of the nations surrounding the land and of the methods of their warfare. He has moved his capital from Hebron to the captured Jebusite city of Jerusalem, now the city of David, and he has begun to move the Ark of the Covenant toward its place in the capital city, although the temple where it would reside was as yet no more than an idea and the tabernacle was still in place. The remainder of 1 Chronicles will focus on certain key events of David's reign without any reference to David's sin with Bathsheba or the rebellions of his sons Absalom or Adonijah, the one blemish in David's record necessary for the accurate telling of the story of the temple is the account of the census coming up in chapter 21, which led to the choosing of the site for the temple at the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. Following this, there is a record of the names of various Levites and army commanders with one humble verse, 1 Chronicles 24:10, of great interest to Christians in the way that it may relate to the date of the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Finally, chapter 29 presents the last prayer of David, which may have an abbreviated, or rather may have been abbreviated, into the doxology of the Lord's Prayer. We're coming up on that in 1 Chronicles 29, 11-13, and then the coronation of Solomon, and then the death of David. So, 1 Chronicles 14, verses 1 and 2. King Hiram of Tyre sent messengers to David along with cedar logs, stone workers, and carpenters to build a house for him. Then David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, since his kingdom was highly exalted for the sake of his people Israel. An important step for anyone who comes to power is the moment when other nations recognize the new leader or government. For the young United States, this happened first in December of 1777 by the Kingdom of Morocco. During the same period, when Germany, for example, was a bewildering group of dukedoms, kingdoms, principalities, free cities, and other regions, some naval and military officers from England and Spain wrecked their careers by accidentally recognizing the wrong government at times of upheaval and uncertainty. Well, Hiram, king of Tyre, was certain that David was the man to reckon with in Israel. Tyre was a maritime state that depended on trade over sea and over land, and David controlled the crossroads between his country and Egypt, Arabia, Moab, Cush, Sheba, even India, and perhaps China, which is perhaps referred to as the Sinim in Isaiah 49. Hiram ruled Tyre from around 978 until 944 BC, and he may have enjoyed a co-reign earlier with his father Abibael from 993 to 978, and therefore he overlapped David's early years in Jerusalem until the middle of Solomon's reign. His cooperation and business dealings with Solomon during the construction of the temple will be seen throughout the first part of 2 Chronicles, especially, we saw it also in 1 Kings 5, 9, and 10. There are various ways of saying highly exalted in the Old Testament, which is here in our verses. Moses and Miriam describe God this way with, "He is exalted, very much exalted, Ga'ol Ga'ah," Exodus 15, 1 and 21. Isaiah describes Jesus Christ this way by saying that He is on high, exalted, very much so, Gaba Ma'od, in Isaiah 52. In the last chapter of this book, our author will say that God has actively made Solomon exalted with the verb Vayagadel in 1 Chronicles 29:25. And here, David realizes that God has exalted or lifted up his kingdom, very much exalted it, niseith lema'ala, but not for his sake. This lifting up or exaltation of Israel is for the sake of God's faithful people who put their trust in him, and for the sake of Christ the Lord. For, as we see in Psalm 75, the horns of the righteous will be lifted up, and God himself is exalted who delights in the well-being of his servants, Psalm 35:27. God showed his blessing on Israel through David and Solomon in ways that he never had done when Saul was king, not since the great and glorious days of Moses and of Joshua after him had God exalted or lifted up his people as he did now. This was not on account of David's handsome face or his popularity or his outstanding musical compositions, for although David was Israel's singer of songs, he cared deeply about his own faith in God and about the faith of his people. He led them from out front, making his mistakes in public and repenting in public. The people knew David. They trusted him, and he taught them by his own example to trust in God, whose mercy endures forever. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.